From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Ed Richards.
Welcome to Defrag Tools. And today we're going to be talking about
8.1.
8.1 upgrade.
We're taping this way before the upgrade.
Yeah.
But Friday, before this is aired, general availability happened, which meant that 8.1 is now
available. Everything went smooth.
Yep.
It
was
sure.
Awesome.
And crystal ball says signs point to yes.
Yes.
So one of the things we were talking about is what could people hit trying to do an upgrade, and we threw out the obvious one: do people have enough hard drive space left?
Yeah, because if you've got a machine with an SSD, especially if it's a small SSD, and a lot of machines have that, you might not have enough space, or you might have to clean off some space. So let's walk through that.
So I think one of the easy ones to do right at the start is SkyDrive. So if you've by default, you don't get the SkyDrive client on 8.0. It's all that web page store app type of thing.
Yeah.
But if you installed the SkyDrive client, you could have synced it down, much like you could have in the old days with Mesh.
Yeah.
And so they're in SkyDrive, right?
Yeah.
So just go to SkyDrive program in the taskbar, right-click, go to settings, and then go unlink.
Yes.
And that's just going to remove this association. Now, remember to do the unlink, because if you press delete, you're going to sync the delete. So unlink first, and then just go to your whole SkyDrive folder and just
and
kill
And then
it.
After you upgrade to 8.1 and you want to put those files back on your computer, they use smart files now.
Yes.
So you won't be taking up all the space, and you'll still have access to those files.
And I've been using that a lot. I mean, I haven't got 8.0 here, but at my desk, I have 8.1, and my SkyDrive's huge. It's got like gigs and gigs in it.
Yeah.
And I've been selectively choosing that, particularly on my Surface and stuff, and it's save so much disk space. It's not funny. So I got a 32 gig Surface with 20 gig of SkyDrive. It just didn't fit.
Yeah.
Right. And so I just did selective, a couple of gigs worth, and away we go. So there's what's the requirements? Because we're doing this before GA, we haven't got the official page, but here's the preview page. Mm-hmm. You need somewhere between 16 and 20 gig of hard drive space, which is not a small amount, right?
Yeah.
Particularly on these smaller tablets. So you probably will be up against this. So particularly things like your music library and your video library are probably the ones who are hurting you. So how do you find what hard drive space is being used? And you said your old favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Winderstat.
So this has been around for a while, right?
Oh, yeah. This is really old. I remember using this like Windows 95 days.
Mm.
Yeah, this is a great app because it really shows you visually where those things are. And it color codes by folder, right?
Well, by file type.
And
red will be, video files or something like that. And
you can see a big one here, and you just kind of drill in. So what I was going to show is a sysinternals tool, because that's what where mine's off. And roughly, you can do the same thing. Now, the great thing about the sysinternals tool is it knows about hard links, junction points, and symbolic links. And we kind of touched on this the other day when we were talking about new PCs and how you can make folders that point elsewhere. So currently, I've got nothing generated, and I'm just going to do a quick link that says that.
You may have some hidden ones, though.
Oh, actually, do the hidden ones first, yeah. So, attribute hidden, and then you can see right here there is a junction point. So, back in, was it XP, we used to call it documents and settings, and then in Vista we changed it to users. So, junction points have existed since, I think it's Windows 2000. And what they are is kind of like a shortcut, right, that says, if you happen to navigate to this folder, then substitute it in for this other folder.
Yeah.
A junction point only supports the current volume, so you can't go across drives. The other one that's kind of, I think it's in here.
Yeah, I think you have to do the A thing again.
There's a junction point for the default user, which redirects to user's default, right? That's another example of it. But there's also a symbolic link, so I don't even have to make one myself. Now, a symbolic link and a junction can be thought of the same way. They're just a folder that points to another one. A junction won't have an icon on it, right? You won't see a little, like an arrow thing.
Like a shortcut icon.
Yeah. Symbolic links do have them. And the reason is the destination doesn't have to exist. It actually is not part of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about symbolic links is, I think it was introduced in Vista, I think, is it doesn't have to be the same drive either. And it doesn't even have to be the same file system. And so you actually can point to an SMB share. So you could have a folder called foo that points to some internal file share in your corporation and some subfolder as well. So you can shorten, kind of like a subst kind of idea, I guess. Mm. So junctions and symbolic links are roughly the same, just more ability with symbolic links as time goes on. I personally always use symbolic links because usually I'm trying to get extra hard drive space on my C drive and junction points don't do that. Mm-hmm. They're both considered to be what's called a soft link, right, which is more of a software level thing. There's also the concept of a hard link, and hard links are to do with files rather than directories. A hard link is multiple files pointing to the same file on the disk.
Well, it's really one file, but with multiple sort of manifestations of it in the file system.
Yeah, and the really good classic example of that is Notepad. Notepad is in Windows multiple times, and there's actually multiple entries like Windows and System32, but they actually both point to the same MFT record block on the hard drive. And so these hard links are reference counted. And so if you delete one file, it will just reduce the reference count by one. If you happen to reduce it down to zero, then that will be the final delete of the file.
And that's where you actually get the disk space back.
Yeah.
Because as it is now, even though it looks like there's multiple copies of Notepad, it's really only using one in terms of disk space.
Yeah. And so this is where the systems tool DU, disk usage, comes in. It understands hard links and these soft link types, symbolic links and junctions, and excludes them or only journals them once. So actually, I'm going to make a demo of this. So on my SSD here, just for example, I made a folder called test, and I made I've got the 8.1 ISO, right? So what I'm going to do is bring up a min command prompt. And then the command we want to do this is mklink. So prior to Vista, there was a program called symlink, and also systemtails has junctions.xt as well that do the same thing. Now it's in the box. I'm not going to waste time talking about the old stuff or systemtail stuff. In this case, we want to make a hard link. And we're going to make it, it's in one there, and the target is going to be in the to directory, and we're going to call it copy2.iso. Whoops, I have to fully qualify it. What am I doing wrong? I think I have to do all this. Oh, I did it back to front. That's what it was. So now we have a hard link. And so if we look in this folder, there is a 3.9 gig ISO.
And you can tell it's not actually a copy because it went so fast. You could not have actually copied 4 gigs that quickly.
And so if we go down one directory, down to the test directory, and do a dir/s, it will tell me I have 2 times 3.9, 7.8 gig of space in those files. That's not true. And so
and you'll also notice that your free disk space probably did not change, right? Even though you now have all this extra disk space supposedly used.
Yeah. And so there's a command called du, disk usage from systemternals. The most simple one is just to say, give me one level of statistics. And so agree to it, and then you'll see that test one directory has 3.8 gig in it, and test two has zero in it. And that's important because what it does is it records the first time it sees a hard link file, journals it to the first folder it sees, and then ignores all subsequent copies.
Doesn't charge you twice for that file.
Yeah, so it gives you a true representation.
And this is actually a question we get from time to time because people will say, how come, you know, if I add up all the sizes of all the files on my disk, then you know, it doesn't match up when I look at how much disk space I have free. And why is this so hard? And this is a one example of why that can be very...
Yeah. And so let's go down one folder, and then we'll just do the big example where you can do this for multiple levels. And you can see like the recycle bins, for example, and then those two folders. It gives you a total for the folder above it. So you can see that's the total for these two. And then the VHD folder just happens to have just files in it.
And we don't know whether, do we know whether WinDirStat knows about this?
I don't know, actually.
I've never looked.
Thing to
I typically use WinDirStat just to find the big video file in some subdirectory that I forgot about that's taken up a bunch of space.
I'll finish this hard example, then I'll jump to that. So if I just delete that first ISO, because remember we'll be in journal in the first one. Oops, I must have it. I have it mounted. And then do a DU level number one levels. It's now moved from the first folder to the second folder.
Now you're getting charged on number two
for the copy. There's all these other flags that you can do: CSV outputting and type delimiter, stuff like that. But in general, it's just purely size. Now, talk about, you know, where does the space get used up? I don't know about you, but I have space issues all the time on my machines. And so I tend to do a level one on C drive and then just have a look around. And straight away, you can see that, you know, program files is using 1.5 gig, users folders 1.1 gig, which is not a small amount.
Yeah.
This is the defrag image, which isn't really that big, really.
We haven't. You probably have a bunch of symbols and things in there.
Maybe. And then Windows 18 gig, which is kind of what you expect. So let's jump into users and have a look at it. Now, don't forget, it's got all those junction points and stuff, so it's aware of all that. And it was not DR, DU. And I'll just do two levels so we get a bit of a blowout. And so you can see that there's the default user, which is the target of that default. So the default user symbolic link is pointing to the default folders. And so it's filtered out all those and public. So these two aren't really a concern. And then Andrew, which unsurprisingly is a concern. And then you can see here that most of it is in app data.
App data.
All right, so let's change into, did I copy that? Let's change into that guy. I mean, I could do a wide L5, but then I'm exploding other folders, which I don't really want to. And let's do an L2 again. And then the local data is a bit more, and then we're starting to split it up into Microsoft and stuff like that. It's just, Microsoft is the biggest one, so let's go to that one. And so you kind of drill down, and this is very similar to what you would do with WinDirStat as well, the same type of, you know, refining.
Drilling in.
Yeah, and so terminal server.
Oh.
I had no idea why terminal servers are in caching, but it is. And out of the Windows folder collectively, it's about roughly the same size. Mm. And you can just keep on going. And so I'm getting a bit of temporary internet files, which is not a surprise. That's all my surfing around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the simple things is, you know, delete the files that, you know, as far as the upgrade goes, delete the files that are reattainable from somewhere else. Music and video, put them on a USB disk, do your upgrade. The reason why you need the space is we keep two copies of Windows, right? And so after you do the install, we have a windows.old folder on the disk, and at some indeterminate time, I can't remember what it is, like 30 days, 60 days or something, we will finally clean it up. Now, the reason we keep the windows.old folder is it gives us the ability to find drivers that you used to have and stuff like that.
It's also, we make it during the, when you kick off the install, and that way if there's some kind of a failure during setup and just your new installation goes all south and fails, we use it for a rollback.
Yeah. So if you're running a bit tight, obviously you're going to have to move all your files off to get this 10, 20 gig space. And then once you're up and running and you think it's good, well, you're still not going to have the space to put your files back. So you run the disk cleanup wizard and do it for the system. And then you'll get this entry called the previous Windows installations. And then you can roughly clean up the old program files in the old windows.old folder.
You'll also see in the windows.old folder, there'll be a little doc file that'll tell you here's how, the way you get rid of this folder, like delete me. I forget what the name of the doc is. It's like how to delete this folder .docker, and it'll tell you about the cleanup disk cleanup tool. And there's also a batch file I think in there that you can run to do it as well.
Yeah, and so I mean finding files is not too hard. Yeah. So one of the questions or problems you get in support, and I'm quickly going to add this take this onto this episode, is sometimes the registry is big rather than disk, right? And so in March this year, Mark released the registry equivalent of DU called RU. So instead of looking at like C drive and D drive, you look at local machine mm-hmm. and the current users, right? So we can just do the same one, and then we're going to have to give it a name because it's not based on the folder I'm in. And so we can say, show me
HK local machine.
And we can see that the software hive is holding 53 megabytes. And we can say current user, for example. So my current user has 4 meg in software. So let's grab that. That's kind of interesting. And I haven't actually drilled into this on this machine. On my normal desktop, which has Visual Studio installed, there is a huge amount of Visual Studio, like megs and megs and megs for each Visual Studio, because it actually, in the registry, has a whole lot of stuff to do with the packages that you've got installed, like all the web form projects and stuff like that. And it's in the megs. And so my profile was huge. And it's because each Visual Studio, and I have 2008, 2010, 2012, and 2013 installs, I had 4 copies of this massive thing. So you'll find personally, if you're a Visual Studio user, you're going to get a lot of data. So let's actually just bring that down to one level. That's a bit too much to see on the screen. So as you expect, classes has a large percentage. It takes a lot to describe the activation of .doc and stuff like that. And then software is also quite high. So one of the reasons why you care about this, in particular the registry thing, is in terminal server environments. So terminal servers can have this registry bloat issue. And what happens is it can happen. I don't know why it happens, but you get these multiple gigabyte areas of the registry. Well, the registry is one of those things that we have to bring in when you load your profile, and so it slows login time. And this support asked Mark to write this tool for this exact reason, is to find profiles which have bloat.
Yeah.
You actually had one the other day where from one of our defrag viewers where the something to do with the Wi-Fi icons was bloated, and there was a registry key that was asking for gigabytes, and this is something you can use to find those keys.
Yeah, that was actually a little bit different, where I think that there may be an issue where we're creating a very big file on the disk as a result of a pointer in the registry. So we're still tracking that one down.
Registry usage, treat it the same as directory usage. Once you find the thing, narrow down, blah blah blah. if there is bloat, and you find these, multi-gigabyte things, export it before you delete it, of course. Mm-hmm. But in general, something shouldn't be big in the registry, and feel free to probably clean up some damage.
Yeah.
And then you should have a registry file that's smaller, which is the user.dat file in your profile. And hopefully that will make you log in faster. You'll see the big file because the registry is just the registry database is a file inside your profile. So if you see this big folder in your users folder, users Andrews, for example, that's big, and it's a DAT file. It's a registry file.
ntuser.dat.
Yeah.
That is essentially where HKey current user lives.
Yep.
And so it takes 16 to 20 gig to do the install, but after you've done the upgrade and you've done the cleanup, what's the actual discharge for the upgrade? Like 4 gig?
I think the footprint's about 4 gig now.
Something like that. I don't have the exact number.
Okay.
But it does take more space to actually do the upgrade than it does after it's
so
all
done. So you're
not
going to, you won't lose that space. So
no.
You get
no,
a good
it's,
part
certainly
of it back.
It's not significantly bigger than Windows 8. So for mm-hmm. example, if you're upgrading from Windows 8 to 8.1, you're not going to end up with your OS now suddenly taking up 20 more gigabytes. You do have to have that space for the upgrade process, but then once everything's said and done and we go clean up the Windows old folder later or you go do it manually, then it's not going to be bigger.
One thing I did notice, which is I think fantastic, is with the integrated synchronization of your shell profile, So you'll say that, you know, the first one you go to is really becomes the master. And then in my case, it happened to be one that had all my games on it because it happened to be a home machine, right? So I had like, you know, 40 games in this big block in it. Well, when I log in at work, I don't really need the games. And so what you end up with is the same look and feel of the desktop, because I told it to sync, but all of the games, I've actually got a little arrow on them because they're not downloaded yet. Mm-hmm. And so you can have a consistent feel without using the hard drive space up. It's kind of like the SkyDrive smart pointers.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have the cost of the file until you use it.
Yeah.
And I think, personally, I found that having a consistent UI across all my machines, regardless of whether I do or don't use the program on that machine, has been really good. You just search around the screen the same way everywhere, and it's kind of familiar. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the best features of Windows 8.1.
Nice. So go ahead and upgrade. If you have any questions, write us. defragtools@microsoft.com. We'll help you out. See you next week.
Okay. Good time.